I'm so glad to be here. It's such an honor to be this morning here and every day, because you get to do what you love, your passion. You get to live what Jesus really meant for our lives. And this morning is going to be a topic that it might be a little bit hard for some of you. Either if you are a procrastinator, you are shy. I'm sorry. Maybe you said, "Well, I'm an introvert. I don't do this with talking with people and inviting." Maybe you said, "I'm overly optimistic and I make a huge thing out of this, and then I invite people and it's not as well as expecting." So inviting is always a hard thing to do for so many of us. What we are going to go this morning is that the best invitation is the one that you don't have to make. The best way to invite somebody is when you don't invite them at all. It works marvelous, especially with kids. You know, do this, they won't do it. So then you tell them, "Please don't do this," and they will do it. It's amazing. Too bad that this new generation is catching up on into that trick, and you have to adapt every single time. But let's go this morning to talk about inviting. And inviting is such a process. I had the chance to talk to a couple of couples that got married or are getting married, and see them through the process. And that reminded me through the process of, for example, a wedding. When you decide, you set a date, and then the battle begins. How many people are we going to invite? Let's do something small. Let's do something just very private. Just 350 of our closest friends. And then you realize the cost of the food, the cost of everything that goes with it. And let's just get the good 200. You end up eloping to Las Vegas, and it's way faster. But it's fascinating, this whole industry of invitations. There are these companies, and for some reason, humans, we do have a lot of emails and Facebook events, but this thing of receiving a piece of paper with an invitation is so special, and companies know it. And they said the cost that is involved in this is astronomical. It's not just the invitation itself, which I was reading, and some companies might charge up to $15 per invitation, per piece of paper. I don't know what it comes with it, so honestly. But it's expensive. And the worst fear is when you are sending that invitation that you might not have the correct address, and that invitation bounces back. It's terrible. I recall working with an interior design company, and they were opening this big, beautiful building in West Palm Beach. And they have this artist, Retna, and he does this cool graffiti type of art which has a meaning hidden, right? And this was a very posh event, very exclusive. So they got this artist to create this invitations, this large, right? And they only made 3,000 out of this number of copies. And when you open that invitation, it was this beautiful piece of art that you can become a poster and you can hang it, right? And not even the employees were allowed to have that one. It was just for people that was invited to the opening. Guess what? People were returning them. They couldn't assess the value of that one of 3,000 pieces of collectible art that this guy makes. Some of his paintings might go for up to $15,000, $20,000 easy. And people were just returning it. They wouldn't see the value. So it's important for us to understand the concept of invitation. And when we invite somebody to an event, we want to make sure that they get the message. Sometimes we are afraid, right? Because we are afraid of their rejection. But the Bible says very clearly to us, it's not our role to convince, to force anybody. Our role, our ministry is just to invite. The best invitation is the one you don't have to make, because it's the one it reflects in your life. And people love invitations. We are going to see in a moment in the Bible. But I'm also like this HGTV do-it-yourself kind of shows. I'm an architect by trade, and I did some flipping. My wife is a real estate agent. So if you're in the area, you're relocating, I know we have some visitors from New Jersey. Please come to see me after the service. Shameless plug. But there's something very special with that. When you're designing a house for a client, or you are selling a house, and you will see it on these TV shows, right? There is this teacher that makes $15,000 a year, and his wife, she's a hippie, and she makes $5,000 on Etsy, and they have this $500,000 budget to buy this house on the mountains with swimming pools. And the first thing that you see on every single of those shows, they go to the kitchen or they go to the living room and they say, oh, this is a great place for entertaining. This is a great place for inviting. Yeah, wow. And you use it in real life. And we had the chance to spend with some of my wife's clients. She sold them a house. And when they walk in, they saw this big living room. And they say, oh, we are going to make so many parties here. We are going to entertain so much. Now we have everything we need. So we stop by to say hi, wish them a happy new year. And I ask the question, so how was your parties? How was the events that you are doing? Oh, no, we are not doing anything. It's just for ourselves. We put a big TV. We don't want anybody to know we live here. If not, they come and they stay forever. So That's the thing, right? Sometimes we invite somebody, we want to make it, and we pretend that we have everything under control. And at the same time, we said, no, it's okay. I just keep it to myself. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your unending love. Thank you because you meet us at every moment. Thank you because you love us as your perfect creation, even if I'm full of imperfections and faults, because we know that our lives matter to you. You open the doors, you are invited us in. And in this morning, Lord, for those who are wander, for those who think are lost, for those who are looking to finish strong, talk to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1. And Mark is giving us a sense of time. This happened in verse 14. It says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Invitation. Very clear. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's not here quite yet. But you better RSVP. It's at hand. It's close for you to get. And see, when you get these invitations now, this for an event or a wedding, they said childcare will be provided, or this is an adults only, or you have to dress this way, or you have to bring the chili, have to bring your best act if you're coming to Vista Got Talent. They are all these things that go around that have an attachment to it, right? In this one, repent and believe in the gospel. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishermen, fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with their hired servants and followed him. It's not about the program. It's not about personality. It's about being like Jesus. Luke also relates this story and gets a little bit more into detail. It's important to say that Jesus has a meaning, right? And this area, this region in particular, was a favorite of his. Not only because he recruited his disciples, four of them right here in this reading, but around this area, he performed 18 of their 30-plus miracles he did while he was on earth. The ones that they are recorded, of course. The Bible says that there were many, many to be written. But from the ones that we have record, 18 of those miracles happened around this area. And Jesus is just telling them, follow me. And you will do something that you have no idea what needs to be done. That's pretty much, right? Because it's fishermen. They know fish. Fish are in the water. Fish get, you need a boat, you need a net, maybe you need a knife and a couple other things, and that's it. You are set. And then Jesus comes, and in Luke says that he was walking by, and he was already a crowd walking with him, and Jesus stepped into Simon's boat, and says, okay, let's get it ashore so he could speak clearly and have a distance between him and the crowds, and these guys were ready to go home. This was probably early in the morning. Simon and the rest of the disciples were just cleaning the equipment after a long night of fishing with zero, zip, nada. And this master, this rabbi, come and says, jump in your boat. Let's get some space. And right after, he says to them, you know what? Throw the nets, cast the nets back into the water. And Peter, being Peter, says, well, Lord, we try all night. We are set, we are tired, we are done with this. But because you said it is your word, we are going to humor you. And they just cast their nets. Says that it was so many fish that needed help, that the nets were actually getting broken. That's when it says later on, when they get back into shore, two of the disciples, what were they doing in verse 19? They were mending their nets. They were fixing them because of all the fish that they got. The invitation, when we are invited, or when we get the honor and pleasure to invite somebody, we need to understand that it requires a moment. And our life gets made out of 4, 5 special moments. Those moments that define you, that define me. Could be that moment when you decided to put your faith in Jesus. Could be the moment when you decided to marry your spouse. And those moments come easily, and those moments fill us with joy. I still remember, and we were, I had the pleasure to meet Karina when we were 10, 11 years old. And she was a good friend with my cousin, and I went to visit them, and they were playing Barbies. I wasn't playing Barbies. I'm more like a Ken guy. But anyways, and right there, I saw her, and I could tell I want to spend the rest of my life with her, and my soul got completely entangled to her. Of course, hers wasn't, so it took me a few years of convincing. But you remember those moments. And I'm sure you have those. And that invitation from Jesus to us to accept him is one of those moments. It's one of those significant moments that change the way your story goes. We keep talking about weddings and parties and invitations. And there are a couple of stories. One, it's a sad one. There is this young kid, six-year-old, Teddy Mancini. Probably you saw it last year on the news in Arizona, I believe he was. His birthday party, he invited 32 of his friends for a Sunday afternoon pizza celebration. A few responded, said that they couldn't make it. But to his surprise, nobody showed up to his sixth birthday party. And the mom took a picture of him sitting in this long table and with just one slice of pepperoni on his plate and nothing else. And he was, you can imagine, completely sad and devastated. They did everything they could. Nobody, no one family, no one kid showed up. He was broken. Luckily, this got attention of the media, the local media. Immediately after, stars from the NBA, celebrities took a hold of this. They organized for him great bash parties and great events. So ended up great for him. But that moment of sorrow at the beginning, right? That's a tough one, especially when you are a kid. And then there is the other extreme. If you are Latino, you might remember this story back from Mexico, from Ruby Ibarra. This girl from Mexico, she was getting her 15, quinceañera. It's like sweet 16, but 1 year younger. And they go all out. And Ruby decided to publish her event in Facebook. And she did it in such a way that the whole world will see that she was invited. You know, she put no limitations. To his father's surprise, 1 million people RSVP to Ruby's birthday party. It, you cannot imagine. A town of 140 people, 15-year-old birthday party, 1 million people sign up for it. Thankfully, it wasn't that bad. Only 30,000 show up. It was crazy. If you were watching the news, it was better than the novelas, let me tell you. Because every day, when the day was getting closer, there were artists that they were going pro bono and says, you know what, I want to sing at your birthday party. And there were car companies that they were sponsoring and giving Ruby, hey, there you have your Camry. They were giving her the world. And 30,000 people show up in this huge field, and they have horse races, and they have all sort of great. It was a Mexican birthday. It was crazy. It was fantastic. And she was so miserable because of all the pressure. Helicopters and drones and TV channels recording every single step. And she just wanted to have a quinceañera. She just wanted to have this birthday party. And she was surrounded by 30,000 strangers. And it didn't play the way she was hoping. And it's the moments that we need to save. And at the beginning, maybe it's not the right thing that we wanted. It's not what we were expecting. But our encounter with Jesus is real. Our encounter with Jesus is special. Think about these four men doing whatever they did the whole life, generation after generation. Some were with their parents. And now Jesus tells them, come, follow me. Let's go. Let's go fish some men. What that even means? Let's go fish some men. We were going to be some sort of warriors. What were they going to do? The Bible doesn't go into specifics. And that's the great thing. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is the invitation of Jesus. And Jesus sometimes will call you to do something that is radical. Something that will get you out of your comfort zone. Something that is unexpected, but Jesus will give you the tools. Jesus will give you the way. Because the best invitation is the one you don't have to make. The best invitation is those that the way you live, the way you present yourself, the way you talk, even the way you dress, gets noticed by somebody. And people will come to you. And people will ask you, why are you smiling in this work? Why are you being so generous with this, with that? And that's when we can testify of what Jesus did in our lives. It requires that moment for us to grasp it, to enjoy it. It requires commitment. Mark wrote this gospel to the Gentiles. That's why we don't see any genealogy. That's why we don't see the origins of Jesus and all the way back to David. Because the target, the public that he was writing this was, it was completely different. It was for the Gentiles, for those that were no Jews, especially the Roman people. So he goes immediately into action. And speaking of that work, he uses the word immediately over 40 times in the gospel. He wanted things to happen. And he wanted things to happen quick, to happen now. As you know, I'm a father of an 8-year-old boy and a 2-year-old something. And you try to organize the house. If you are a parent, you understand what I mean. We live in total disarray. We are one phone call away from social services. So I recruit them to help me. Okay, let's clean up. Let's clean up. Okay, and Lucas tells me, yes, yes, right away, 1 minute. And we get started. Okay. And Emma starts singing, clean up, clean up. And she grabs something and drags it and drops it immediately over there. That's it. And it says, okay, guys, now it's serious. It's Wednesday. We start this on Monday. We have to get this done. So let's go. Let's get it. Let's get the commitment. Let's be obedient. Let's clean up. 1 minute, Dad. Clean up, clean up. And drop it somewhere else. And that's our daily living, right? You get it. We always think we have one more minute. We always have, I will come around to it. We will get it done. And sometimes that's the way we treat Jesus. And sometimes that's the way we treat his invitation. It's free. It's by grace. We have to do absolutely nothing. But it's important for you and for me to understand that either you accept it or you don't. There is not, let's put a pin on it. Let's wait and see how life pans out. Let's wait and see. Maybe next year I get the trick with the better house. If I get a better house, I will be able to entertain. If I get a better job, I will be able to do this. I will be able to serve. I will be able to give more than 1 hour. We have another 167 hours that Jesus is inviting us to be part of. It's a privilege that not even the angels have to be part of the kingdom of God here on earth. Nobody else has that privilege but you and I. It's a commitment. It's an act of obedience. And Jesus said the same thing over and over. And even him, he didn't get the same results. In Matthew, tell us the story of this young man that he was trying to prove himself, right? And make right. And the young man said to him, all this I have kept regarding the law and regarding the commandments. What do I still lack? What do I need, Jesus? What do I really need? He was a genuine question from this young man. And Jesus said to him, if you will be perfect, go. Sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come. Follow me. The same words he told the other four. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You are invited. You either follow or you don't. And the sad part is that young men walk away sorrowful, even denying the call of Jesus. He knew it was not right. He knew in his heart that he wasn't making the right choice. Maybe in your heart you are going through the same things. You want to show that you are tough, that you have everything under control. Don't walk away this morning with a sorrowful heart. Accept Jesus' invitation to restore your life, to give a purpose, to make one of those 4 or 5 special moments in your life. It requires commitment. It requires obedience. And Mark, being this active man, calling us to action immediately, over 40 times, he wasn't perfect at all. And that's the beauty of the Bible. That's the beauty that we can enjoy and apply to our lives. Because he was a man like you and me, full of mistakes. In his, it gets recorded in the book of Acts. When Paul starts his endeavor on his first missionary trip, Mark was with him. And somehow, middle in the road, Mark says, I'm out. And he left Paul hanging. And came the second missionary trip from Paul. And if you don't know Paul, he was this very strong character. And he didn't have anything to hide. So he would tell things as they were. And Mark wasn't invited to be part of the second missionary trip. You get grounded. You are not coming with me. And that could be the end of this disciple. Later on, Paul is in his final days, and in 2 Timothy says that Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's telling him, hey, I have Luke with me. But you know what? Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful for the ministry. We might have taken that call from Jesus. We might have fallen off the wagon. But in the same way that Mark, we get a second chance to be invited, to participate, to be welcome into what God has for us. Not because we are forgiven by Paul, the pastor, the church, or any organization. Because we are forgiven. We are redeemed by Jesus Christ himself. His blood, his sacrifice in the cross cleans you up. He gets all our sins, he gets all our faults, and the Bible says he throws them under the sea when nobody ever will see them. Nobody will bring them up. So stop bringing your own faults and accept the invitation to join or rejoin the work for Jesus. An invitation requires dependence. We need to understand that this is not the work of a staff. This is not the work of somebody that spent years in seminary. When the Bible says in the Great Commission that we have to go and share the gospel, it's not talking necessarily as a talent, as a gift, but as an obligation. That's our command. That's our work. We have to open the eyes of the world to Jesus Christ. And this invitation is not about our charisma. It won't be a way of use smart or the words that come out of our mouth, but it's about the person we are changed in Jesus. It says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. It's all about, where are you attached to? Are you attached to Jesus? If you are, let him just work through your life. I'm so excited. as a New Year's gift, some of the members, they came to the first service, they are going to give me a papaya tree. And I cannot grow anything by any means. And that says, okay. And they want to say, it will grow. Anybody can grow a papaya tree. It's so easy. Still, I know myself. I know I'm going to kill it. So Hilma, she's growing the tree for me at a point that I can just move it to somewhere else and it won't die. I'll talk to you in a couple of months about it. And I says, okay, any will do. Any seed will do. There is a papaya right here. Let's just use this one. No, it has to be a special one. So she took her time finding the sweetest papaya so she could extract the seeds and put them so that would give you a sweeter fruit. Let's not rush, but let's make sure that we are attached to the right seed, that we are attached to Jesus for us to grow and for us to depend on him. Again, it's not about the words. It's not about the things we might say. It's what the things that Jesus do through you and through me. And finally, that's the beauty. It's all about grace. No matter where you're coming from, what continent, or what's your life story, in the eyes of God, at one point, we all fail. We all made a mistake. And that's what the Bible calls sin. We err the target of the will of God. And that sin puts us apart from God. God is perfect. And that sin set us in a different path. And the Bible is real about heaven, and the Bible is real about also hell. And it's a place that is for those who just don't take the offer. And it's real. And the way that Jesus speaks to it, and is very clear in the Bible, is because he wants to warn us. This is where we are heading. And if we don't check ourselves, we are missing out. Now, there is no special seat in this congregation. I would like to see you check under your seat. If you have an envelope, that's it. You're going to heaven. Doesn't work like that way. Doesn't work the Oprah. Everybody gets salvation. You get saved. You get saved. You get saved. Doesn't work that way either. It's personal. It's for you in your heart. Recognize that you fail. And that consequence of sale is being separated from God. Here and for an eternity. To realize that it's not for good works. It's not serving a church. It's not coming every Sunday. It's not giving to charities or whatever. Those are good deeds. But good deeds don't wash out the bad things we did. It's just recognizing that God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for you. And his death in the cross and his resurrection on the third day is what gives us victory. By grace. Let me finish with this story. Back in D.C., Mario, he's now the pastor in that church, brought his brother from Guatemala. Things were terrible with gangs and everything. And he brought his young man. And he told me, okay, Chris, day and night, we are going to preach to this guy. So we weren't even out of the airport, and he was already hammering his brother. Okay, first thing you need to do, you need to accept Jesus. And he told us, no way, Jose. Okay, let's try a different approach. Bring him to church on Sunday. Talking to everybody, but spending some time just fixing my eyes on Elmo. We call him Elmo, even if he wasn't red at all, but that was his. And you know, nothing. So we started organizing things, programs. We created a soccer team. And we were playing Sundays, 5 o'clock after church. Let's go. Let's play soccer with some other guys. You know what? Halftime, when we are getting our refreshments, I will preach. And he was desperate, wife. Every Sunday, we were playing against other guys. And we were starting these conversations. The other teams will accept in Jesus. Elmo was sitting there. Nope. Okay. September 15 is the Guatemala Independence Day. Don't ask me why. We organized a party at the church celebrating Guatemala's Independence Day. So he will come, he will be happy, he will listen to Jesus, and maybe right there he will do it. Again, 120 people show up, they love it, they accept Jesus. Elmo, nothing. We showed the Jesus film. There were these two ladies, Catholic, more than the Pope, and they show up to watch the Jesus film. And they accepted Jesus. And Elmo was like a rock. We give up. And we say, we try so many things. Let Elmo be Elmo. And one Friday, we did this prayer vigil at church. And let's be honest. Prayer vigils are not the most exciting thing to happen when you are not a Christian, right? It's just a time of very solemn, traditional hymns, maybe, and prayer. It was close to midnight, and just to say goodbye, we said, okay, let's end up differently. Men, let's go pray in this corner. Ladies will pray over there. We sit down around and say, okay, let's finish up. Everybody will do a short prayer. And this is how we end the night. And one by one, the guys started praying. And Elmo was sitting next to me. I was the one finishing with the prayer. And I said, okay, I'm ready. As soon as the other guy finished, I'm just going to jump in. And when he was his turn, he touched my leg. And he started weeping. He started crying. And then right there, in a prayer meeting, he started confessing to God all the things he did wrong. He started speaking and saying how sorry he was and how much he needed. And right there, on his own account, after listening for months, he made a prayer asking Jesus for forgiveness, asking Jesus for save him. And that's the beauty of grace. That we can think we have it all figured out. And then God shows up in a great way and changes our life. So as we are getting our hearts ready this morning to remember what Jesus did for us, let's celebrate his invitation. And for us could be even a new step. If you already have Jesus in your heart, please come, partake of these elements. The bread represents the body of Jesus that was beaten for you in the cross. The juice is a representation of his blood that washed away all our sins. And the invitation is to remember the sacrifice and to be faithful until he comes back, because he is coming back for you and me. And if you haven't had that moment yet, while you see friends and family coming forward, I invite you to have this moment with Jesus where you can make things right. Ask Jesus for forgiveness. Jesus, to wash away your sins. Believe that he's the Son of God, that he died for you, and his death and resurrection will set you free. And gladly, you can come forward on the sides, Pastor Van, John, myself. We will gladly explain to you and talk to you as much as you need to answer any questions. Let's pray, and as we finish praying, I invite you over to come and to partake. We have places for kneeling if you wish to, here at front. If not, we also have stations on the back of the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much because you invite us with open arms, because you pay the price, because your grace can define the moment in our life. Help us to be committed, to have a life of obedience and action. And help us to understand how important it is for us that we have this truth burning in our hearts, how important it is for us to go and share it with those who are lost, with those who are desperate, with those who are wandering. We know that you are the true and only God. We know that you can get only through heaven, through you. Help us to be good helpers on expanding your kingdom here on earth until you call us back into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.